Welcome to American Dreamland, a place where inequality thrives and cash controls the nation. The state of our country may seem hopeless, but I'm here to tell you the dream's not dead. Hello everyone, I'm DJ Scarlett, and on this episode of American Dreamland, I'll be talking about colonialism, the history of the United States not told by textbooks, and our treatment of Native communities. I'm doing this episode due to the current political climate around immigration, specifically towards Latin Americans and people from the Middle East. When looking through our textbooks, we get a very narrow view of our political history. This is because those who wrote history were not the oppressed, but people who had power, specifically white Christian men. The reason why this information is important is because the system that was set in place is inherently racist and still perpetrates colonialism to this day. These things are built into our system, and it is our duty to recognize them where they appear and change things in order to work towards a more egalitarian society. The first thing I'll be talking about is our history of colonialism and how it differs from what we are taught in textbooks, specifically treatment of Native communities and how America was colonized, not discovered. I'll then go on to discuss the United States' current treatment of Native communities, as well as the hypocrisy of the state's attitude towards immigration, and since I don't want to give you just doom and gloom, I'll end this episode by talking about concrete steps we can take in our society, as well as our legal system, to enact change and spread awareness. To start things off, I'd like to give a brief history of the United States not told by our textbooks. I'll be referencing a book called A People's History of the United States, written in the 1980s by Howard Zinn, an American historian and political scientist. This book details the history of the United States told not by those in power, but by those who are systematically oppressed throughout history. I highly recommend reading this for a much-needed dose of reality. However, I'm going to just be focusing on Zinn's description of the colonization of the Americas and the colonist treatment of Native communities. To start things off, I hope you're all aware that Christopher Columbus is a psychopathic, murderous colonist who never even set foot in North America. Not only this, but I'll also remind you, Columbus was convinced the Americas were India and went so far as to call the natives there Indians, a tasteless name that has somehow survived over time. I'll start off by describing the Arawaks, who are the people Columbus first came across in his search for gold. The Arawaks were a fascinating people, who differed greatly from Europeans in terms of values, social norms, and views on equality. Although the Arawaks had no need for metal weapons and did not use animals for agriculture, they had an incredibly advanced farming system and were skilled at mediums like weaving and spinning. Socially, the Arawaks were an incredibly giving people, sharing freely amongst themselves and giving the Spaniards whatever they asked for with pleasure. The treatment of women in the villages was also vastly different than European custom, and in many ways, more equal than America today. Columbus noticed this easygoing nature of the society and promptly took advantage of it. In his captain's log, he writes a few very disturbing things, noting in one his arrival on the Arawak's land. The entry reads, "They brought us parrots and balls of cotton and spears and many other things, which they exchanged for the glass beads and hawksbells. They willingly traded everything they owned. They were well built, with good bodies and handsome features. They do not bear arms and do not know them, for I showed them a sword. They took it by the edge and cut themselves out of ignorance. They have no iron. Their spears are made of cane. They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want." It's astounding to witness such casual cruelty and disregard for people, human rights, and Native culture. The fact that to this day we celebrate a man who committed mass genocide, effectively wiping out entire cultures, is despicable. It's also interesting to wonder what this country would be like if it was not colonized by Europeans. What would the Americas look like today if we had kept the values of community, equality, and disregard of material possessions rather than adhering to a patriarchal, capitalist, and evangelical society brought to us by Europe? As you all know, the story of colonization of those people native to what is now called the Americas goes on. However, unlike our history textbooks, Howard Zinn goes into detail about just how cruel and fast-paced the colonization of these people were. From then on, Columbus sailed from island to island and coast to coast, rounding up native people as slaves and attempting to either bring them back to Spain to be sold or forced to work for the Spaniards in America to mine for gold, a good that was, in reality, in no abundance. In 1495, Columbus and his men rounded up more than 1,500 Arawak people to be enslaved. Of those 1,500, 500 men, women, and children were sent back to Spain to be sold. However, over 200 died on the journey to Europe due to inhumane and unlivable conditions on board. Soon after the arrival of the Spaniards, the Arawaks attempted to fight back, but they were no match for the colonists and their advanced weapons. Those who were not killed in battle decided to flee into the wilderness, and mass suicides became extremely common. Even children and newborn babies were poisoned by their parents in order to save them from the brutal regime of the Spaniards. There are countless stories detailing hundreds of other native communities falling victim to colonization, most of them ending in murder, suicide, and sickness. I won't go into any more detail about the colonization of the Americas. However, it is incredibly important to realize how Western nations were built and how we are still influenced by colonization today. Keeping in mind everything I've just told you, I'd like to start talking about the United States' current treatment of Native communities. Again, we've all read in textbooks about historic events we call Manifest Destiny and the assimilation of Native people into what we are conditioned to believe was a more advanced and ethically upright culture. But what we are not told is the fact that this great Manifest Destiny involved the systematic removal and murder of the Native people already residing in the rest of the continent. Not only were these people removed from their land, but many were forced to adopt the culture and religion of the colonies. The treatment of Native communities today is nothing more than an extension of the colonization perpetrated against them so many years ago. Although I don't have time to go into detail about everything Native communities face, I'd like to focus on poverty, reservations, lack of basic human rights, and police brutality. Let's start with the issue of poverty in Native communities. According to CNN, Native Americans have a higher rate of poverty than any other racial group, with about 1 in 4 Native people in America living below the poverty line. They also face the lowest unemployment rate out of any racial group in the country. According to estimates by the American Indian Population and Labor Force Report, 120,000 tribal homes are without proper sanitation, 1 in 10 are without clean and safe drinking water, and more than 60% of roads on reservations do not meet United States safety standards. There's also an extreme digital divide, meaning for those reservations that do have access to internet, it is much more expensive than internet access outside reservations. The reason Native communities live in these conditions is not because of some flaw of their own, but because of colonialism, segregation, and the disregard of Native lives by the United States government and the media. What is more is that reservations were created on land that is not fertile, removed from the general population, and is nowhere near resources such as waste disposal and proper sanitation or clean water plants. This creates a vicious cycle of poverty perpetrated first by colonists and carried on through a government that continues to disenfranchise and disregard Native communities. Next is the problem with reservations. Although living in a reservation most likely means seeing incredibly high rates of crime, poverty, infant mortality, suicide, drug use, and unemployment, many Americans believe that reservations are privileged and offer special rights to Native people while exempting them from federal laws. This could not be further from the truth. According to NativeYouth.org, reservations were created by the United States government in order to exert control over Native communities, assimilate them into U.S. culture, and minimize conflict between colonizers and indigenous people. The U.S. government also did not seem to care about the differences among the many tribes founded in what is now known as America, and forced opposing groups and cultures to live together on these reservations, established in the most desolate and poverty-stricken areas of the United States. To this day, the indigenous people living on reservations fight to find jobs, stay above the rate of poverty, and avoid becoming the victim of crime. They also do their best to stay mentally and physically healthy due to the lack of efficient government programs and sustainable health care. Even though many Americans believe living under the tribal bureau and not the federal government is a privilege, Native communities are still forced to rely on the United States government financially while living in areas often compared to developing countries and relying on things like gambling and tourism to sustain their communities. Another little-known problem facing indigenous people today is police brutality. Although most of us have heard of the Black Lives Matter movement and the tendency for police officers to arrest, harass, and murder Black people, many Americans are unaware Native communities face police brutality at alarming rates with little to no media coverage. According to the Centers for Disease Control, Native Americans face higher rates of police brutality than any other ethnic or racial group in the United States. Specifically, the rate of police shootings on Native people is 12% higher than blacks and 3 times higher than whites. Many of these deaths are reminiscent of those that sparked the Black Lives Matter movement, usually involving a Native man or a child shot down by police without any justifiable cause or reason. Keeping these statistics in mind, I'm going to move on to how Native Americans are represented in the mainstream media and in our culture. Although the media fails to cover important details such as the amount of poverty and social immobility on reservations, there is no shortage of stereotypical and generalized images of Native communities on TVs, movies, and representing sports teams. In movies, Native Americans are often portrayed as either enemies of white Americans or are generalized caricatures of a variety of different tribes. There's also the problem of using the stereotypical and generalized Native characters to represent American sports teams. I'm appalled that in 2018 there are still teams named the Indians, and even more disgraceful, the Redskins. To add insult to injury, this slur is accepted as the team name, and jerseys and helmets are emblazoned with an incredibly racist and stereotypical image of an indigenous person. At this point in my podcast, I've gone over the real history of colonization, as well as given a brief overview of the current treatment of Native communities. This is all incredibly important information that should be used to educate people and work towards aiding Native communities by targeting our culture of colonialism and the system that perpetrates it. However, before I get into what we can do to change things in our society, I'd like to talk about how this relates to the hypocrisy of current immigration laws surrounding Latin Americans, Mexicans, and Muslims attempting to come to our country. How can we, a country of immigrants built on the backs of people who were colonized and enslaved, look down upon those who want nothing more than to build a better life for themselves and their family? Who are we to decide who is allowed in this country when this land is not even rightfully ours? What's more is there's almost no problem with immigrants who come from countries that are predominantly white. The reason why there have been movements to ban Muslims or secure our southern border is not because of any sort of rational decision, but because of racism. We are discriminating against people due to the color of their skin and their religion, not because of any sort of rational thought process or valid reasoning. I'm astounded many of my fellow Americans don't support helping refugees or dare to accuse someone of taking American jobs when we rely on many immigrants to fulfill the roles and duties we don't want to do. On top of this, the people immigrating from these countries are not criminals or uneducated masses. Many of them are incredibly intelligent and bring much-needed skills to the United States, who, may I remind you, is failing miserably in terms of educational success compared to the rest of the world. History is incredibly important because it's what has built our culture and shaped our laws. The colonization of indigenous people is what the United States is founded on, and our culture is still greatly influenced by and perpetrates this system. Not only does colonization affect modern Native communities, but also those attempting to immigrate to the United States from countries who are not predominantly white. One of the ways we as a society can work towards abandoning colonialism and systemic racism is to learn about Native history and recognize the ways injustices against Native people are still carried out. Education and communication through media, as well as proper representation and support of Native culture, will create a model in which we can enact real social change. There's also the problem of education. Many schools provide children with history told from the side of colonists, often minimizing the magnitude of issues like colonialism, slavery, and the oppression of women. Apart from attempting to reform our educational system and how it teaches history, there are many political groups like Native Lives Matter or activists who protest things like the Dakota Access Pipeline that are easy to follow or join. There are tons of ways to donate, volunteer, or spread the message online, often through social media. In terms of legal or political action, it's important to vote for candidates who support and acknowledge Native issues and take actions such as calling your representative from Congress to talk about problems facing Native communities in order to help put them on the political radar. We also need to monitor government exploitation of Native land for natural resources and fight with Native communities when their rights are violated. There's also steps the government can take to help communities, such as providing financial compensation, returning some of the indigenous people's stolen land, and giving them property rights, something that indigenous people living on reservations still lack to this day. Thanks again for listening to my podcast, American Dreamland. Tune in next week when I talk about feminism, what it means to me, and why intersectionality is so important. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful week. This is DJ Scarlett, signing off. To play someone's game.